Hi, I'm Brian Hartran from T&T Consultancy Limited, based in the United Kingdom. Now, we produce an audio magazine each month entitled InfoTech, which focuses upon the subject of information technology. As part of that audio magazine, we recently produced a feature lasting approximately 90 minutes on the subject of the System Access screen reading product. It's produced by the Ceratec Corporation, the company that are famous for manufacturing Freedom Box. What we're going to do here is to reproduce for you a review where we actually focus upon the product, we tell you its advantages and disadvantages, and we suggest some ways in which the product could be improved upon in the future. So the review is in two parts, with the majority of the review being broadcast this time. If you'd like to know more about InfoTech, then please check out our website at www.tandt-consultancy.com, and the InfoTech link is on the home page. Within recent editions, we've reviewed Daisy Players. This time, we're going to be delving into the world of digital TV and finding out how visually impaired people can access that. We've done a very detailed and comprehensive comparison of the PacMate and the BrailleNote family of products. That was a few months ago. We not only reviewed the products, but we also talked to people who were involved in the selling and development of the products as well. So, if you'd like to find out more about InfoTech, you can check out our website. Meanwhile, here's the first part of the System Access review. Within discussions many of us have had in the past about access technology, we've often referred to the three leading screen readers, WindowEyes, JAWS and HAL. Now things are very much on the change. I would put FreedomBox System Access version 2.0 from Ceratec very much in that category of being a leading-edge product. In fact, there are many things System Access does which some of its competitors really don't do. In this article, I'm going to take a comprehensive look at System Access and fairly evaluate it for you. System Access is developed by Ceratec, who also developed FreedomBox, which we've reviewed within InfoTech twice now. The developers of the product do not like to call it a screen reader, because they say System Access doesn't just read the screen. It gathers whatever data it needs to in order to reproduce, through speech, the contents of an application's components in the most full and accurate way that it can. However, to all intents and purposes, it is giving you access to Windows applications, as opposed to some other products, or indeed the FreedomBox network itself, which gives people a certain amount of hand-holding by modifying the underlying applications. So press one for this, two for that, etc., rather than the person having to navigate a large number of menus and dialog boxes and so on. System Access, though, is great for new users because it gives excellent support to many aspects of Windows a person will need to use. So, for example, Windows Explorer, aspects of the control panel, the start menu, and the Windows system tray. It also gives access to applications like Microsoft Word, Outlook, Outlook Express, Internet Explorer, Microsoft Excel, PowerPoint, and even Skype for talking to people at no cost over the Internet. As well as being able to handle the fundamentals of using these applications, it provides enough support for a new user to broaden their skills later on. In other words, it's going to be some time before you outgrow System Access, and I would suggest for the vast majority of people, they wouldn't do so. At the other end of the scale, System Access is good for the techie. As well as giving you the ability to explore the contents of unknown application screens through its virtual mouse capabilities, you can use what is known as a passkey, as described later, where System Access can be up and running in seconds on any computer which doesn't contain a screen reader, and there's no complications in hooking into the video chain or any of those well-known difficulties that visually impaired people have had to grapple with in the past. So how much is System Access going to cost, given that it's so good? The answer is £80 per year. I'll just say that again, because I know you've probably fallen down with shock, because it's such a low price. £80 per year is what you'll need to pay. You cannot purchase System Access as a standalone product at the moment, although I'm told that is on the way. You have to get a Freedom Box account, and there are various ways you can do that, which we've talked about before. The cheapest way of doing it is to download the software to your computer for free and take out a subscription totaling £80 per year, or about £10 a month. Once subscribed, you don't have to use the Freedom Box network if you don't want to, although, at least for some things, you probably will want to. You can just use System Access as a standalone application. You don't even have to have the computer connected to the internet on a permanent basis to use System Access. So a dial-up account will be sufficient to get it up and running and to carry out the occasional administration task. But again, given the things that the internet can provide to visually impaired people, you probably will want to. It doesn't take a genius to actually get System Access up and running with Windows. With many screen readers and similar products, you actually have to go through an enormous amount of steps to actually customize Windows to work with the screen reader. You don't have to do that with System Access. It takes very minimal system adjustment. You can refine things if you want to and if you know how, but if you don't know how, you're still going to get quality access to Windows, whether you make minimal adjustments or even no adjustments at all. So with that said, I'm going to switch on this computer.
Windows Logon.
And it just says Windows Logon. It's using the DeckTalk speech at the moment, although we're going to change that. I've already got my username filled in, so I'm just going to type in the password and press Enter.
Freedom Box System Access 2.0.1 is now active.
Okay, that's fine. And we're on the Windows desktop. How do I know that? I can interrogate System Access to tell me that information. The System Access product relies extensively on what they call the System Access Modifier key. Uniquely, this is assigned to four keys on the computer keyboard, the scroll lock, the caps lock, and the two insert keys. So if you wanted to use the System Access Modifier key in conjunction with a key on the right-hand side of the keyboard, you could use the caps lock key. But if used in conjunction with a key on the left-hand side of the keyboard, you could press the insert key. For seasoned screen reader users among you, many of the keystrokes actually emulate, to some extent, the JAWS keyboard functionality. So I can press the caps lock key with T in order to read the current title of where I am.
Desktop.
And it says desktop. Notice that we got no extraneous speech from System Access. A lot of screen readers do tend to report quite a lot of information that you don't really need to hear as you go into Windows, but we just got the bare minimum, which is fine, and now we're on the desktop. So if we wanted to, I could arrow around the desktop and get a feel for what icons are on here, and I'll do that in a moment. But before we do, I'm going to make some adjustments to System Access so that it's easier for people to understand. Although the DeckTalk speech I find is quite easy to listen to, and I know a lot of people do. In order to get into the System Access preferences, we're going to press the caps lock key with F.
System Access menu. Start Freedom Box Browser. F.
So it said Start Freedom Box Browser. F. We're not going to get into the Freedom Box browser because we're looking at System Access, but essentially that will take you into the Freedom Box network. However, the F refers to the shortcut key that you can use whenever you come into this menu. So there are quite a lot of options in here. You can either navigate to them by pressing the up and down arrows, and when you get to the one you want, you press Enter, or you can use the appropriate shortcut key. The ways in which screen readers deliver these shortcut keys, which are usually underlined letters, vary. With JAWS, they use a different voice for that. With Window Eyes, they, I think, say the shortcut key followed by equals and then the menu item. With System Access, the way they handle it is that you have the menu item being read out first, then you have a little pause, and then you have the shortcut key associated with it, so as to easily distinguish between what the menu item is and what the appropriate shortcut key is. So I'm going to arrow down and see what options we have.
Key Echo.
Key echo, of course, means that every time you strike a key, it will announce its identity. We're not going to have that set for the purposes of this review. I'm going to arrow down to the next option.
Word echo. W.
We're going to select word echo. And in order to select an item, we're going to press enter. So this will mean that when I'm typing in, for example, Microsoft Word or Outlook, it's going to announce words every time I hit the space bar.
Desktop. List. My documents. Not selected.
Okay. What's happened there is that we've dropped out of the preferences dialog box. This is actually a little bit annoying in some respect because it now means that I've got to press the caps lock key with F again to go back into the preferences. I've got to arrow down past the word echo, which is where we were, to get to the next option. It may have been better if they'd made some of these options checkboxes so that you didn't get thrown out of the dialogue. But anyway, let's go back in.
System access menu.
And I'm going to arrow down.
Key, word echo. Checked.
Okay. W. So now it's saying checked, so we know that's selected. Let's arrow down again.
Text-to-speech engine submenu.
Okay, text-to-speech engine submenu. I said that DeckTalk is being used at the moment, but for not very much more money, you can actually purchase the NeoSpeech voices. And a lot of people are beginning to like these. You may be familiar with NeoSpeech if you have applications like Kurzweil 1000, because they've been using NeoSpeech for quite a while now. There are two voices, essentially, that are used in here, Kate and Paul. You also have the ability to select one voice to give you the main screen information and the other corresponding voice to give you prompt information. So, for example, if we, as we're going to do, select Paul to give us the main screen data, the Kate voice will tell us things like end of document. Or if we're in a table, she'll tell us the column and row that we're in. So message information is what she'll be giving us, and all that can be customised here. But NeoSpeech is good, and if you have a high-specification computer, then you're not going to notice any decrease in responsiveness between the DeckTalk speech and the NeoSpeech. And it is much more human-sounding, which is what is so appealing to a lot of people, particularly new computer users. So I'm going to press Enter.
Phonics DeckTalk US English.
Okay, and we've got the DeckTalk US English selected here. I'm going to arrow down.
Phonics DeckTalk UK, Microsoft Speech API 5. Microsoft Speech NeoSpeech Voice Text.
Okay, NeoSpeech Voice Text. I'm going to press Enter.
Desktop, list, my documents, not selected.
Katie's reading that information at the moment. I'm going to change that, so I'm going to go back into the preferences.
System access menu.
And arrow down.
Keyword, text-to-speech engines, voice submenu.
So we've got voice here. Let's press enter.
Kate, checked.
Katie's checked. Let's arrow down.
Paul, P.
Paul, I'll press enter.
Desktop, list, my documents, not selected.
1 of 24.
Okay, so now Kate is reading information such as 1 of 24. I've got 24 icons on my desktop right now. Let's see if there's anything else in preferences that we need to deal with.
System access menu. Keyword, text-to-speech engine submenu. Voice submenu. Speaking rate. R.
The speaking rate. Let's slow that down a bit. Let's press enter.
Adjust speaking rate. Speaking rate. Slider. 22.
Let's arrow up.
20. 17.
Okay, that will do. That's slightly slower. We'll press enter there.
Desktop list.
Back into preferences.
System. Speaking rate. Average pitch. P.
You can adjust the pitch if you want. We'll leave it as it is.
Punctuation submenu.
We can control the amount of punctuation that's spoken by the system.
Link alert type submenu. L.
Link alert type. This relates to web pages or similar environments. So these will be HTML pages on the internet, or they could be HTML composed messages within applications like Outlook or Outlook Express. You can have an announcement when there's a link, you can have a beep, or you can have no announcement at all.
Optional messages submenu. O.
The optional messages. Let's go in here.
Alternate voice, checked.
This is where I said you can have an alternate voice, if you want that.
Same voice.
You can use the same voice.
Off.
Or you can turn them off altogether. So there's a certain amount of verbosity control. Now, because I've changed my mind and I don't want to change any of these options, I can press Escape.
Optional messages submenu. Oh.
And I'm back to where I was there, so I haven't dropped out of the menu.
Audio tutorials. T.
Audio tutorials take you to a series of lessons relating to how to use system access. I'm going to talk about the help that you get in various ways towards the end of this article, so I'll include a discussion about that at the right time.
Submit a program that works well with system access to the Freedom Box network. S.
If you find a program that works really well, you can tell Freedom Box developers about it.
About system access. A.
We have an about option.
Shut down system access. Modifier F4.
You can shut down system access at any time. You can restart it again by pressing Alt-Control-F. And there is also an icon for system access on the Windows desktop that's put there by default. So that's a quick tour of the options that you have. Let's just escape out of here.
Desktop list. My documents. Not selected.
1 of 24.
As I said, I can move around any of the icons on the desktop with the arrow keys, and System Access is going to read them out.
My computer. My network places. Internet Explorer. Napster. Music. SoundForge 8.0.
I can also, of course, navigate the Start menu, and I'll be doing that as we go through this review when I'm launching applications. As I said, you can access the control panel very easily, whether it's in the conventional classic style, which is traditionally accessed by screen readers, or you can use the more web-based interface, which is used with Windows XP by default. You can access icons in the Windows system tray very easily. To do this, you press the modifier key, which I'm just going to continually now refer to as Caps Lock, so Caps Lock F11.
Select a system tray icon list. Freedom Box System Access.
1 of 2.
Okay, so I've only got two icons in the system tray. System Access.
McAfee Security Center.
2 of 2.
McAfee. Okay, so if I wanted to access options pertaining to McAfee, which I could do, there are various buttons I can access. If I tab through these.
Left click button, Alt L.
So we've got left click button, which is Alt L, the shortcut.
Double left click button, Alt D. Right click button, Alt R. Cancel button, Alt C. List. McAfee Security Center.
2 of 2.
Okay, so very accessible. And in fact, what I'm going to do is activate the right click menu options, because you would certainly do that with many icons that are in the system tray.
Left, double left click, right click button, Alt R.
Okay, so I've tabbed over here rather than using the shortcut key, and I'm going to press Enter to activate the right click.
Menu opened. Open Security Center. O.
And I'm going to arrow down.
Virus Scan Submenu. V.
These are the options that relate to Virus Scan. I'm going to press Enter.
Scan. S.
So you can scan.
Manage Quarantine Files. Create Rescue Disk. Options. O.
And if I wanted to, I could press Enter there in order to customize McAfee's options, which brings me into a web page-like environment that, as we'll see when we get to Internet Explorer, System Access would have no difficulty at all in handling. I'm going to come out of the system tray and these icons by pressing Escape.
Virus scans. Menu closed.
In fact, I needed to press it twice and it said Menu closed, and I'm back on the desktop. Windows balloons frustrate visually impaired people because they do appear, and hopefully your screen reader will read them out. If it does, how do you actually access them? Okay, you get a message from Windows to say that you need to give it some attention, but how do you actually get to the balloon to give it the attention that it asks for? Well, System Access provides great support for these, and it does so by automatically announcing the balloon. And if you want to interact with it, you press the Caps Lock key with B in order to bring focus to it, and then you can do whatever it is that you need to do. So, typical examples of help balloons are things like, updates have been downloaded to your computer, click here to install them. And of course, you could press the Caps Lock key with B and install the Windows updates if that's what you wanted to do. I'm going to make sure that we do have a balloon, because at the moment I've got this computer plugged directly into a router, which in turn has a cable modem connected to it. And I'm actually going to disconnect that network cable right now. So we'll automatically get a help balloon to the effect that I've unplugged a network cable. I'll then press the caps lock key with B to see what options we have in order to resolve that situation.
Local area connection. A network cable is unplugged.
Caps lock with B.
Network connections. Network setup wizard. Not selected.
Okay, so we heard a little sound. The fair imitation of it, I hope. And then we can arrow down to see the various options that we have here. So we've got network setup wizard.
Network connections.
And various options relating to network connections. Okay, that's a very simple illustration of how the balloons work. I'm going to escape out of it.
Display refreshed.
Okay, and I'm going to plug the network cable back in. Lastly, concerning Windows, I'm actually going to shut down the computer because there's something really good here, actually. I'm going to press the Windows key.
Start menu.
Press the letter U.
Shut down Windows. Ends your session and shuts down Windows so that you can safely turn off power. What do you want the computer to do? Drop down list. Shut down.
So we're being told that we're in a drop-down list. We're also being told the message that is associated with the option. Most screen readers don't read this out. So it's saying exactly what's going to happen. If you shut down, you're going to obviously log off and end your Windows session. If I arrow down...
Restart. Ends your session, shuts down Windows, and starts Windows again.
I'm often being asked what the standby option does, so we'll deal with that right now.
Standby maintains your session, keeping the computer running on low power with data still in memory.
Let's just restart the computer, because we are going to use it.
Restart ends your session, shuts down Windows, and starts Windows again.
So I'll press Enter.
Windows log on. Saving your settings.
So it's telling you exactly what's going on. I think that's really good for new users particularly. And those extra prompts are well worth listening to. We're now going to spend quite a bit of time within Microsoft Word and do some tests to determine how well System Access performs using some common tasks. So I'm going to go to the Start menu.
Start menu.
And press M repeatedly until I get to Microsoft Word. That's because I've altered my start menu in that way. I'm using Office 2003, by the way.
Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft Word.
And press M. Enter.
Menu closed. Start button, document 1, Microsoft Word, blank.
Let's type a couple of sentences. Now, I've got Word Echo selected, so you can hear how responsive it is.
At the time of... recording. It is Saturday morning. I am recording a demonstration.
I spelled that wrong deliberately.
Of using System Access for the Infotech magazine, which I hope you will enjoy.
Okay, that's fine. I've got two sentences there. And I've created a new paragraph. Let's go to the top by pressing Control Home, standard Windows keystroke.
At the time of recording, it is Saturday morning. I am recording a demonstration of using...
Start of document.
Okay, so we're told we're at the start of the document and System Access read the first line. Let's arrow down.
System Access for the Infotech magazine, which I hope you will enjoy. Blank. Blank.
End of document.
Now, of course, you can use the arrow keys by themselves to get the individual characters reported. You can move word by word and so on. But from a screen reading point of view, how else can we review the text? Well, if I go back to the top here...
At the time of recording...
Okay, I press the control key to silence the speech. I can press caps lock up arrow to hear the current line.
At the time of recording, it is Saturday morning. I am recording a demonstration of using...
Start of document.
And what you find is, actually, that the caps lock up arrow does a number of things. It will read the current control in a dialog box, for example. It will also read the selected text. If you highlight text with the shift and arrows, for instance, it will read that text. You can also read by sentence. There is no way of actually being able to read the current sentence. You can read the current word with caps lock and numpad 5. You can move forward by sentence. If you press caps lock and S to move forward by sentence.
I am recording a demonstration of using system access for the Infotech magazine, which I hope you will enjoy.
Okay, that was the next sentence. There is also a keystroke to move to the previous sentence and read it. Let's select some text now then. I'm going to change the word Saturday to Friday.
The time of recording it is Saturday.
Okay, so I'm going to select that word with Shift Control Right Arrow.
Saturday.
Selected.
Okay, and Kate told me it was selected. I can review that by pressing the caps lock key with up arrow.
Current selection.
Saturday.
Current selection, Saturday. So I'm going to type right over the top of that, Friday. Okay, and now I'll read the current line.
At the time of recording, it is Friday morning.
Okay, that's fine. Now, if I want to change it back again, I'm going to select Friday.
Friday.
So I've pressed Control left arrow in order to get back to it. I'm going to select it.
Friday.
Selected.
With Control shift right arrow. And now I'm going to change my mind, okay? So I'm going to press the left arrow key to remove the selection.
Selection cancelled.
F.
And I get, Times New Roman 12.
I get told that the selection has been cancelled, which is very good. I get told the character that I'm on, which is F of Friday. Paul is speaking that in a higher pitched tone, so I know I've put a capital there. And Kate also told me that it's in Times New Roman 12. What seems to happen is, if you use the left and the right arrow keys, we will be told the point size and style that's being used. So if I right arrow...
R.
Times New Roman 12.
I.
Times New Roman 12.
Okay, I'm not sure I'd want that all the time, actually, and I'm not sure if there's any way of stopping it, but that's what seems to happen. When you navigate word by word...
Friday.
That doesn't happen, so that's fine. What I have found is that when you delete characters, it will report the current character that you're deleting, which is fine. However, when you delete the current word with Control and Delete, it doesn't tell you the word that the cursor is placed upon. So you have to actually use another keystroke, caps lock, numpad 5, in order to hear the current word. In many applications, you can use a keystroke which will review the status bar of an application. The status bar is always very useful. It's a window at the bottom of... It's located at the bottom of the screen. And in an email client, for example, it will tell you the number of messages that you have in a particular mailbox. It might tell you if it's downloading mail. On a web page, it's going to tell you if it's downloading a page or how far the page has got to download and so on. In Word, it also contains important information, but what they've done with System Access is that they've given you the information that is on the status bar. They've also given you extra information that you might otherwise need. And that's why in Word they've called it the virtual status bar keystroke, activated by caps lock and page down. I'm going to press that now.
Page 1 of 1, section 1, 2.54 centimeters from top, line 1. Column 32, 4.89 centimeters from left.
Quite a lot of information, in fact. And if you had emboldened text, then we might have got that as well. We might have had the status of it read. In fact, let's go to the bottom of where we are, Control End.
Blank.
End of document.
Okay, I'm going to put the caps lock on.
Caps lock is now on.
I'm going to center the text with Control E.
Centered.
I'm going to embolden it with Control B.
Bold on.
Bold on. Great. I'm going to type
my first heading.
And press enter.
Centered. Bold. Centered. Bold.
Okay. And Kate is reminding us that we're still centered and we're still in bold. So I'm going to take the caps lock off.
Caps lock is now off.
Turn the bold off.
Bold off.
Okay. Control B. Press Control L for left aligned.
Left.
Okay, now I'm going to arrow back up.
Blank. My first heading.
Start of document. Centered.
And she tells us that the line is centered automatically, which is very good because it means that you can easily determine that information when you're arrowing through the document. If I press caps lock page down.
Page 1 of 1. Section 1. 2.54 centimeters from top. line 1, column 1, 5.56 centimeters from left, bold, centered.
She tells us, as I suspected, more information. It may be too much information. I only really want to know whether it's emboldened or not. And screen reader developers have never really caught on to this concept that actually sometimes all we really want to hear is isolated components of that status-like information. So we only need to hear if it's bold or if it's in italics or underlined. We don't need to hear all this other stuff as well. At least it's giving us the information, which is better than not having it at all. Now, you'll remember that I made a mistake in the spelling of this document. I put two M's, in fact, in the word demonstration, which enables us to demonstrate the spell check. Okay, so I'm going to press F7 in order to do that.
Spelling and grammar, English UK, not in dictionary. Demonstration, D-E-M-M-O-N-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N. First suggestion, demonstration, D-E-M-O-N-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N.
One of two.
What could be clearer? There are two suggestions. We heard the spelling of the incorrectly spelled word. We heard what the first suggestion was and its accompanying spelling. Very well delivered. Let's press tab.
Suggestions, list, demonstration, D-E-M-O-N-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N.
One of two.
Let's hear what the other suggestion is in the list. Let's arrow down.
Demonstrations, D-E-M-O-N-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N-S.
Two of two.
So it's either demonstration or demonstrations. That's fine. Let's select demonstration by up arrowing.
Demonstration. D.
Okay, we don't need to hear all that again. We can either press Alt-C or we can tab over to the change button.
Dictionary language. Drop down list. English UK. Ignore once button. Alt-I. Ignore all button. Alt-G. Add to dictionary button. Alt-A. Change button. Alt-C.
That's the one we want. I'll hit space.
Microsoft Office Word. The spelling and grammar check is complete. OK button.
And press space again.
Document 1 Microsoft Word. My first heading.
Start of document. Centered.
So, as far as I'm concerned, it well passes the spelling check test. There is absolutely no problem in navigating that dialogue or getting the information that you need out of it. I want to give two more tests to System Access because I know that it does read out the standard Windows dialog boxes very well, such as the Tools Options dialog. It deals with headers and footers without any difficulty. The Page Numbering dialog, you're able to move through that. I want to have a look at tables, and I want to have a look at something a little bit more complex, just to show how System Access can deal with different aspects of Microsoft Word. And that is to prepare an outline for a paper or a report. So, first of all, let's create a quick table by going to the Table menu, Alt-A.
Table. Draw table. W.
Okay, so we're going to select I.
Insert submenu. Table. T.
So, insert table.
Insert table. Table size. Number of columns. Number of columns. Editable text. 5.
System Access is fond of saying editable text, which is good because it means that you can type something in here. I'm going to type 2 for 2 columns. I'm going to press tab.
Number of rows. Number of rows. Editable text. 2.
Okay, I'm going to type 4 in here. And press enter.
Document 1 Microsoft Word.
And we're in the table. 2 columns by 4 rows. I'm going to type item. And press the tab key.
Column 2 of 2.
And type price in here. And press tab.
Row 2 of 4. Column 1 of 2.
So we're being told when we move into the next row and the column position as well. I'm going to type freedom box. Downloadable. And press tab.
Column 2 of 2.
And type £80. Press tab.
Row 3 of 4. Column 1 of 2.
Now I'm going to use the table navigation keys. I think whether you're using Microsoft Word or Internet Explorer, it's absolutely essential to have table navigation keys because without them, you either are in danger of corrupting a table in the case of Microsoft Word, or with Word and Internet Explorer, you don't necessarily process the information correctly in a tabular way. So it's really important to have table navigation keys, and we've got them here. They are Alt-Control, up, down, left and right arrow, and they work within Word and Internet Explorer. So I'm going to press Alt-Control, up arrow.
Freedom Box downloadable.
Row 2 of 4.
Okay, let's go to the top with Alt-Control, up arrow.
Item.
Row 1 of 4.
There's our item. If I do it again.
Start of column.
It says start of column. So we've got item. If I Alt-Control right arrow.
Price.
Column 2 of 2.
We've got price, column 2 of 2. So let's come back left.
Item.
Column 1 of 2.
With Alt-Control left. Let's Alt-Control down.
Freedom Box downloadable.
Row 2 of 4.
Okay, Freedom Box downloadable. If we Alt-Control right arrow.
Pound 80.00.
Column 2 of 2.
It says pounds 80.00. So that's fine. The table navigation keys are working really well, and as I say, they can be applied to the internet too. It would be nice if there was a keystroke to repeat the contents of the currently selected cell. So if we could have something like Alt Control Numpad 5, which would repeat the cell coordinates and also give the data that's in the cell, that would be good. One thing that I may typically do, and I'm sure other people will as well, is to create reports. And what I'm going to assume is that we're going to create a report for a company about designing accessible applications. So I'm going to press Ctrl-N to create a new document.
Document 2, Microsoft Word, blank.
And what we're going to do is create an outline for the report, which is basically an abstract of what's going to be in there. I'm going to start out by pressing Control E to center the text.
Centered.
And Control B for bold.
Bold on.
I'm going to put the caps lock on.
Caps lock is now on.
And I'm going to type designing.
Designing. Accessible.
Accessible applications.
Applications.
Press enter.
Centered. Bold. Centered. Bold.
Let's take the bold off.
Bold off.
And Control L.
Left.
Caps lock off.
Caps lock is now off.
Now I'm going to go to the Format menu with Alt O.
Format. Font. F.
And press N for bullets numbering.
Bullets and numbering. Bulleted tab. Alt B. None. Graphic.
Okay, and press Control Tab twice to get to the Outline numbering tab.
Numbered tab. Alt N. Outline numbered tab. Alt U.
Press Tab to get into that property sheet.
None. Graphic.
Press right arrow.
1. A. I. Indented. Graphic.
That's what I'm looking for, because that's how I'm going to present my document. So we're going to have main points as 1, 2, 3. We're going to have sub-points as A, B, and C. And then a whole series of Roman numeraled points indented further than that. So I'm going to press enter.
Document 2, Microsoft Word. 1. Blank.
End of document.
And we can tell that we're on point one because Sysmax has told us that information. So I'm going to make that the introduction.
Introduction.
And press enter.
Two.
Now I'm at point two, which will be testing conditions.
Conditions.
Okay, press enter.
Three.
Which will be suggested changes and rationale.
Suggested. Changes. And. Rationale.
Press enter.
4.
Now, we're not going to go to point 4 because I want to put a series of sub-points in here. So I'm going to press tab.
A.
And this will be point A, which will be keyboard access.
Keyboard. Access.
Enter.
B.
Notice it's not saying point 4 anymore. It knows automatically that we're doing a series of subheadings, and I'll type point B. Implementation of proper
navigation
order. Press enter.
C.
Now, there would be a lot more to it than that, of course. A lot more subpoints and even Roman numeraled subheadings. But I'm not going to worry about those just now. I'm going to press shift tab.
4.
To go back to the main leveled numbered items. And I'm going to type conclusion.
Conclusion.
Okay, now let's go back to the top.
Designing accessible applications.
Start of document. Centered.
And arrow down.
Blank.
centered.
1. Introduction. 2. Testing conditions. 3. Suggested changes and rationale.
In 0.25 inches.
A. Keyboard access.
So we are hearing that the text has been indented by a quarter of an inch. It says inner 0.25 inches. Let's down arrow.
B. Implementation of proper navigation order.
Out 0.25 inches.
4. Conclusion.
And when we got back to conclusion, we were told that there had been an outdent of a quarter of an inch. So System Access is really giving us a lot of useful information about the visual layout of the document, because you can spend literally hours putting together a very articulate paper or report, well presented in terms of its language content and its terminology. But if the visual layout isn't there, you may as well not bother. So with the help of System Access, you really are going to get a mental picture of how this document is going to look.
Microsoft Office Word. Do you want to save the changes to document to? Yes button. Alt Y.
I pressed Alt F4 to get there, and it read the dialogue out automatically. Let's press N.
Desktop list. My documents. Not selected.
1 of 24.
And we're back to the desktop. Now, the next thing that a person would typically want to do is to interact with email. So we're going to try that now. We're going to deal with this within Microsoft Outlook, but the functionality is just as good within Outlook Express. So I'm going to go to the Start menu.
Start menu.
And select Microsoft Outlook.
Microsoft Outlook.
Press Enter.
M. Menu closed. Start button. Microsoft Inbox. Microsoft Outlook list. Empty.
And I've got an empty mailbox at the moment. Let's just check my mail with Control M.
Unread. Brian Hardkin. Subject BCAB Re. Screen readers for Braille.
2 of 2.
So that was a message that I wrote, and it's come back from the BCAB mailing list. I wrote it to the list. And the subject is Re. Screen readers for Braille. I got told that the message was unread. If there was an attachment, I would have that information so that I knew to look for the attachments when I open the message. I was told who it was from and what the subject is. I would have been told the date as well and possibly the size of the message, but I actually have those items eliminated from my inbox view because I don't actually want them. There are other ways, even within System Access, of getting that information, which I'll show you. We have another message here, though.
Unread. Roger Oberholzer. Subject blind iPod Re. Turning on my iPod.
1 of 2.
This is a message from the blind iPod mailing list. Let's press enter.
Blind iPod Re. Turning on my iPod message. Plain text. Message. Hi Ryan.
Okay, and that was the first line. If I want to read the message, I can start the document read facility with the caps lock key and down arrow. And this applies, of course, to Microsoft Word as well, and indeed any application where there's an edit field.
Hi, Ryan. I own a Nano as well. Therefore, I'd like to suggest a few steps. 1. Try resetting the iPod. For this task, you will need sighted help slide the hold switch on and then off again.
And I pressed the control key after the word again. Now, where are we here?
Space. A-G-A-I-N.
The document read, when you stop it, is very good at routing the cursor to exactly where you need to be. So that applies to all applications. If you're reading with the document read facility and you want to edit the text in some way, pressing the control key will place the cursor exactly where you need to be. It's very accurate in that regard. So we've read that message. Let's escape out of it.
Inbox Microsoft Outlook. Roger Oberholzer.
We want to delete that, so I hit delete.
Deleted. Unread. Brian Hardkin. Subject BCAB Re.
Okay, so it says deleted, and then it just says the next message, which is in focus. So that's all very good. We can read mail okay. Let's try and compose a message now with Control N.
Untitled message, plain text, to editable text, blank.
I'm going to type a message to Mike Calvo, who's one of the System Access developers. I'm going to press M.
Mike Calvo, Mike Calvo, Freedom Box CC, list opened.
Okay, and what happens within Outlook 2003, if you select this feature to be on, and it's on by default, is that you actually get what's called the autocomplete list. This is a window that appears near the bottom of the screen, and System Access does a good job of letting you not only read that information, but also to navigate through it. It said that there's a list that's open, if I arrow down.
Matt Campbell, MATTC Freedom Box CC.
So we don't need to type the person's full name to take advantage of this. Just the initial letter will do, and then we can scroll through. Of course, the more that you type, the search will be narrowed down to reflect what it is that you've entered. So if I actually type MI, we wouldn't have seen Matt Campbell in the list. Let's arrow back up to Mike Calvo.
Mike Calvo, Freedom Box CC.
And press enter.
One of two.
List closed. Mike Calvo, Freedom Box CC.
And it said list closed, so we know that we're typing to him. I'll press Alt-J for the subject.
Subject, editable text, blank.
And I'll type test message.
Test. Message.
Tab.
Message, editable text, blank.
I'm now in the body field, and I'll type, hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Press enter a couple of times.
This is just a quick message for you.
Okay, and press enter. Let's just review the text. Can we do that?
Hi, Mike. Blank. This is just a quick message for you.
We could press Control Enter to send the message. We could also spell check it if we wanted to do that. The spell check works just as well here with System Access as it does in Microsoft Word. Now I'm going to demonstrate attachments. I've got an email here that my wife has forwarded to me containing a magazine produced by the Royal National Institute of the Blind in the UK called NB. And it contains three attachments, actually. So I'm going to arrow down.
Attachment, Don Hartigan, subject FW, NB March 2006.
And press enter on it.
FW, NB March 2006.
Now, I know that there are attachments because System Access told me, but more importantly, I can now use one of the other modifier keys. I've been using predominantly the caps lock key, of course. Because the command is the System Access modifier and A for attachments, that means I would have to cross hands, really, in order to execute that command. So I'm going to hold down the numpad 0 key, which equates to one of the insert keys on the computer keyboard. I'm going to hold that down and tap the letter A.
Choose an attachment list. NB0306TXT 131 kilobytes. NB0306HTM 143 kilobytes.
So I want to open the HTML file. So it's put the attachments into a vertical list. And again, there are buttons, just like the system tray dialog, where it puts all the icons from the system tray into a nice convenient list. So there are buttons here for the attachments list also.
Left click button, Alt L.
I'm just tabbing through them.
Double left click button, Alt D. Right click button, Alt R. Cancel button, Alt C.
So, ordinarily, if we tab to the list.
List, NB0306HTM 143 kilobytes.
The best way of opening it is to tab over.
Left click button, double left click button, Alt D. Right click button, Alt R.
To the right click button, press enter.
FW. NB March 2006 message plain text. Menu opened. Open. O.
So I can open it from there.
Print. R.
Print.
Save as. S.
Save as might be a good one because we can save it elsewhere on the computer.
Remove. V.
I want to open it, which is the first choice, so I can just hit O because that was the shortcut key.
Opening mail attachment. You should only open attachments from a trustworthy source. Attachment. NB0306HTM from FW, NB March 2006 message plain text. Would you like to open the file or save it to your computer? Save button, Alt S.
So I've got a save button here.
Open button, Alt O.
Or an open button. I could press Shift Tab. Well, I think my wife is a trustworthy source, so I can actually open the message by pressing space.
NB Microsoft Internet Explorer, heading, NB, heading, the site Loss and Eye Health Magazine. Heading.
And it's launched it in Internet Explorer. If I want to come out of this attachment with Alt F4, I can do that.
FW, NB March 2006 message plain text.
And I'm back in the original message again. Some screen readers have a problem with dealing with that situation, so you can launch the attachment and then you quit the attachment. then you find that you're not actually back in the original message again. There's a certain amount of alt-tabbing to do. But this handles that no problem at all. So let's escape to close the message down.
Inbox Microsoft Outlook.
And I'm back to my regular inbox. Other comments for Microsoft Outlook. They have a keystroke which is caps lock or modifier and 1, which when you're in the body of an email message, if you press it once, it will read out the from field. If you press it twice quickly, it will move to the from field so that you can copy who the message actually came from to the clipboard if that's what you want to do. They haven't followed that through, though, so it will be quite nice if, for example, modifier 2 would read out the date field, and if you pressed it twice quickly, it would place focus upon it. It's actually often quite nice, rather than having to shift tab to the date field, to be able to actually press that keystroke to determine when a person sent a message. The same is true of the 2 and CC fields. It's actually quite nice to read those without actually moving there with other screen readers. The other area of Outlook which needs particular attention, I think, is the calendar. It doesn't really work so well at the moment. Yes, you can actually move through and read the dates within the calendar, within the day view. You can get the appointment information. There isn't actually a problem getting the information. It's about suppressing some of the unnecessary over-talking that system access gives you in the Outlook calendar. If I just flick over to that now, because I'm using Office 2003, I can press Control Figure 2 to get into my calendar.
Day calendar, 15 APR, from 0800 to 0830.
Because I'm in the UK, I know that using MSAA, they don't give us the day information there. Okay, if I was using a US profile, I would be hearing Saturday the 15th of April, or Saturday April 15, I should say. But because I'm in the UK, MSAA does not reveal the day information. If I tab, I should see that I've got no appointments. If I press right arrow...
Day calendar, 16 APR, from 0800 to 0830.
So really, all we want to hear is the day. We don't want to hear the fact that we're in the day calendar and the time slot associated with the day. If we want to hear the time slots, then we'll arrow down and get the time slots, but we don't want to hear it right now.
Day calendar, 17 APR, from 0800 to 0830.
Now, I do have an appointment logged here. I'm sure I do. If I tab, I should get it.
Appointment, 17 APR, from 0000 to 18 APR 0000. Subject, Easter Monday. Time free. Subject, editable text, Easter Monday.
Again, a bit too much information. I just put Easter Monday in because it happens to be a bank holiday here. I don't need it to say from 0000 to 18 APR 0000, I think it said. It would just be nice if it said all day event or something like that, really. So it's about manipulating the MSAA information, because that's where it's coming from, to make it a little bit more intuitive. But the calendar is usable. With some screen readers, you just can't use it. So we should definitely congratulate the guys at Ceratech for making it usable with system access. At least, as I say, you can now store your appointments without any difficulty. And that concludes part one of the System Access Review on this edition of Main Menu. We'll be back next week to conclude the review, and we've got lots of exciting things to tell you about there. We'll be starting out by looking at how System Access performs in the area of Internet Explorer. Until then, from myself, Brian Hartgen, I'll say bye for now, and see you next week.